Well, again, we are especially thankful for Roger and for his substituting for Brother Jerry. And I'm thankful that he was able to do that and really enjoy the presentation. And so we appreciate his efforts, his study, and all that he had to say on the topic tonight. I think we hear a lot of religious jargon from our friends and neighbors, and sometimes we don't know where a lot of that comes from. You know, we hear words that we can't find anywhere in the Bible, and so we're uncertain as to their origin and meaning. And I'm thankful that Roger spent the time tonight to explain what is meant by sacrament, both in the Roman Catholic and Protestant view, and to address baptism in particular on this issue. So we thank him very much. We're going to have a time now for some questions. And so if you're a brother in the church, you'd like to ask a question, please raise your hand. I'll call on you. We ask you to stand up, wait for the microphone, and hold the microphone up close so that we can make sure we capture your voice for our recording. We'll open now for questions. We'll start with Brother Clint.
Thank you very much. In Colossians 2:11, or 12 rather, when it says, you're raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, does that mean that we have faith in the work God did in raising Christ, or that we have faith in the work God does in baptism?
Well, I first interpreted as we have faith in the working of God that he performs in baptism, but the very next phrase says we have faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I think maybe we have faith in both, I would say.
One other question. On the Lord's Supper, what is the spiritual meaning of the Lord's Supper? Not quite to what the Catholics teach, but that the Protestants have stripped away. I wondered if you could comment on if that has anything to do with Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 10, when he calls it the joint participation of the communion of the body and blood of Christ, or just whatever you think that the actual spiritual meaning of the Lord's Supper is in uniting us to Christ.
Well, I think the Catholics believe that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament, and that in the taking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there is a special grace imparted, a saving grace even, and that sins are forgiven at the moment. So, just like you would do confession and penance, you would take the Lord's Supper, and sins are actually forgiven, and that all has to do with the transubstantiation stuff, and all that stuff all fits together in the idea of a sacrament. Now, the Protestants strip the sacramental part of that. Some of them went to consubstantiation, but others just went, they strip it of its power. Now, biblically, I believe that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, and then in verse 25, Jesus tells us, do this in remembrance of me. It's a memorial. And it's a causing of humankind to remember Jesus, which has a greater effect on our lives than we likely imagine, unless, you know, you preach and teach about the importance of not forgetting and the importance of remembering and being reminded in the Scriptures. The fact that we're given something that is to remind us has a greater effect on us than we imagine. But it doesn't have the power, and that's not what it's all about, to forgive sins. It's not sacramental at all. I believe it's a memorial that is intended by Jesus to cause us to remember Jesus, his body and his blood, and the work he accomplished in the establishing and of the new covenant. He wants us to remember those things. And that's why when we take the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to think about Jesus. And that's going to do us more good than maybe we mostly imagine. That's what I think. In the sacramental system, only a Roman Catholic church priest could give you the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Because it all works together. Only there's forgiveness of sins And only they've got a lock on it, have the power to give that.
I was going to give my 2 cents on Colossians 2. This is actually one of my favorite passages on baptism, because I think that this is one that makes it very clear that the Bible doesn't teach that there's power in the water, but the power is in God. And if you look at the context of Colossians 2, you can just see right there in verse 8, Paul says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit." Most of this chapter is Paul's polemic against false doctrine. And I think when he gets to the baptism section, he's saying, we don't have confidence in all of these other things, all of these competing ideas. We have confidence that God, we have faith in that God will do for us what he's promised, because he has demonstrated his power in the resurrection. And so we do have faith in baptism to accomplish what he says it will accomplish, because we have confidence in God's power in the resurrection. It's not all this other stuff that the Colossians were being inundated with.
All the philosophies of man.
Yeah. Jimmy Kagan.
Appreciate that. Maybe you could help me understand some.
You could help me.
Catholic theology here. If the sacraments are necessary, they view the sacraments are necessary for salvation. And I know this wasn't directly part of your topic. It was more focused on baptism. But you mentioned matrimony or marriage as a sacrament. What is their view of the necessity of marriage, and how would they harmonize that with the doctrine of celibacy?
Well, in specific, they have an out. They believe that they say the sacraments are necessary for salvation, but not all to every person. So it's the same with orders. The sacrament of orders is whenever you would be proclaimed a priest or a bishop. There are certain words that would be said over you, and you'd be pronounced by likely someone higher, but it would have to be an official of the Roman Catholic Church, successionism, who would pronounce you, and or things would be said. That's orders. And within that, that's a sacrament, that pronouncement that you are a priest or a bishop or an archbishop. All of those things are orders. And they recognize not everyone will have the sacrament of orders placed upon them. Everyone has to partake of the sacraments, but not all of the sacraments.
Glenn Osborne.
Sorry I wasn't here at the first, but I've enjoyed what I heard. I know you didn't deal with the Lord's Supper, and so maybe this is irrelevant, but I was wondering, in your study, is John, the sixth chapter, verse 53 through 58, is that the source or one of the major underlying authority that they get from the Scriptures to state that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament? Because in this passage, you know, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And then it goes on down. But, I mean, what proves too little, too much proves too little. In verse 58, whoever eats this bread will live forever, of course. But now, did you find in your research that this was the major, possibly the major reason why this passage has even gained prominence at all in applying to the Lord's Supper? Is because of these statements?
Well, I don't know. I didn't look far enough to see. It strikes me that very likely the Roman Catholic Church applies this to the Lord's Supper. I wouldn't apply this to the Lord's Supper. I believe that this, you know, in verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It seems like then, if this is the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper becomes a guarantee as a sacrament of salvation. You eat it, you can eat it every morning, and every morning you're brand new again, and it's a guaranteed thing, you know. I don't believe that this is talking about the Lord's Supper. I believe this is a more figurative spiritual meaning, that if we take Jesus into our life and live following Jesus, we will have eternal life. But just taking the Lord's Supper will not guarantee. It's not a sacrament. If it was a sacrament, maybe it would guarantee that. If we thought of it as a sacrament, we might think, well, I took the Lord's Supper, I'm okay. But that's not what the Lord's Supper is about. And maybe one of the other men, Ronnie's back there ready to go, and Johnny could talk about this. I don't know the Lord's Supper, the Catholics' actual position, if they use this in support of their sacramental doctrine. It fits, though.